What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Some person here this evening was saying that they thought, oh, you know, a couple of days ago they were thinking about leaving last week, and then all of a sudden, you know, they heard a message from the Lord. Isn't that wonderful that the word of the Lord brings the fear of God? I got a message from the Lord one time. That was around 22 years ago, and it scared me so bad that I just pray that the Lord will keep pouring that fear out on me, to just realize it and to know that He was there. I was in the middle of a big record campaign. I just had started the record offer. I just finished with the record offer that I had on radio and in the media, the 20 original hits, the record offers that you see on television today. And the one that started that in this country, 20 records on a album and for a discount price, made a lot of money. Then I tried to I got tired of doing that, so I went and started doing promotions for other people and other different promotions, because I would get bored pretty easily with it. And when I was doing one promotion in my attorney told me that the person in Beverly Hills, a holding company of movie stars and record people and attorneys and bankers, wanted to buy into this promotion because they thought it was such a fantastic promo, and it was for this singer that I was promoting on my label. And I told them, no, I've got my own money, and I want to prove to the world that I did this with my money, my brains, my know-how, and all these different things. And he says, well, look, Tony, the guy is a very good friend of mine. And he says, will you please go down to that office, just to see, because the guy doesn't even believe that I know you, and if you'll just go down, that will get me off the hook. And I said, all right. And at that time, we were traveling all over Hollywood with the motorcade, a chauffeur-driven limousine, and I had two Los Angeles police officers driving up in front of me on motorcycles, and one on each side on motorcycles, and two in the back. And I had an entourage of 17 people, bodyguards, and it was just a big show that I was putting on so everybody would pay attention to us. And they would follow behind us in Lincoln Continentals and Cadillac cars. And Big Jim, who's still driving a car for either Sonny or for Cher, who I also did the promotion for, was driving for me. He was an ambulance driver at the time, and I told him to quit his job and to start just pretend like he was the bodyguard. He really wasn't. But now he actually thinks he's a bodyguard. And I guess, you know, Sonny and Cher fell for that hype too. He's a pretty big guy, though. But at any rate, we started. So I called, and I rented this motorcade and the limousine from the funeral parlor, Utter McKinley, Abbott and Hast. They're the ones that rent limos and motorcades to funerals. Like, they stop the traffic and stuff like that. You can rent a off-duty Los Angeles police officer. Back then, I could rent the limo for $100 a day and the driver, and I could rent the police officers, I think, for $50 each, something like that. So it was about $300-$500, and I could get that whole scene, and we'd go down the street. To me, $500 wasn't anything, because I used to carry huge rolls of $100 bills, and I used to carry boxes, cardboard boxes full of hundreds, and suitcases full of them. As a matter of fact, one of the big record producers today that produces for Aretha Franklin and for Lou Rawls, his name is H.B. Barnum in Los Angeles, he came into my apartment. He's still producing right down here in Hollywood. As a matter of fact, he just produced the Brothers record. He tells the Brothers this story. He was in New York and told me he was coming in. I said, well, come on over. And so he came into my hotel room, and the place was just stacked with $100 bills. The whole room was just like wall to wall with it, and it was about that high. He says, my man. He says, man, he says, you really made it, Tony. He says, I always wanted to roll in money. And I says, well, work out, baby. have a ball. And so he laid down in the money and just started throwing it all over himself. And this is how much money I was making back then. And so we'd rent a hotel, a couple of floors of a hotel, and invite the whole Peppermint Lounge over. And this is the kind of life that I used to live before. And, you know, as straight-laced as we are with the gospel, you know that something really terrifying happened to me. And some people say, well, there's something pulling on me out there in the world. Well, I had a Beatles album that was worth $50 million, and I threw it in the trash can. Now, if you've got something out there that's worth more than $50 million, or better yet, if you've got something out there that's worth more than your eternal soul, well, then go, man. You know? What is more worth more than your eternal soul? Your mommy, your daddy, a $50 million Beatles album? I still own that Beatles album. I haven't put it out yet. I've got that thing over somewhere. I threw it in the shelf, I think, where I keep the groceries. People tell me it's worth $50 million. And then when John Lennon got killed, they says, well, it's worth $100 million right now if you just sell it. Tony, come on, sell it. No way. And we needed money real bad then, too. They said, why don't you sell it and put the money in? I said, how can you promote the devil and then also come in and take that money and promote the Lord? You got to figure what side of the track you're on. Amen? So we just kept that silent. The world will not hear that Beatles album. Now, some of the people here, I played it just to prove to them that we have it. How many have heard it? Any of you have heard part of it? Or, yeah, okay. So, anyway, we got that. I got records by this group called The Undertakers. Boy, that was really frightening. You know, when I came into the knowledge of God, he come down there and talked to me of The Undertakers. My Lord. They were the number three group in the world, yeah, from England. And all these different groups, when the Beatles started happening, they wanted to come and be with me, the Rolling Stones and all them. And when the Lord came down to me, I says, no way. Herman and the Hermits, and probably some of the people that you've never even heard of before. And so I just backed off and wanted to find out what to do about God. But God came down and shut my ears off in the office in Beverly Hills when I went down there. And this, I thought, you know, we were just having a big ball, you know, putting everyone on a trip. Because here we have this L.A. police officers, and I was telling them what to do and where to go and everything. And they look, boys, you know, you line up two of you up here, one on each side and two in the back here, and you'd link in people going back, and the cops even quit their jobs with the L.A. Police Department and wanted to come with me because they were having so much fun. But we don't have this kind of fun in the police department. And they'd stop traffic. You know, they'd start to, they'd run the sirens, and then they'd put their boots out like that in their hands, and they just, the lights would be flashing, the sirens would be going, and they'd stop all the traffic there, and our car would go swinging around the streets, and we'd go cruising down, and everybody said, man, who's in there, you know? We in there just laughing at everybody. And so when we got to that office, there was this campaign that I did in Billboard magazine. The guy had it pasted on the wall. And so I looked up there and I saw, he says, Tony Lama. He says, man, that's the most fantastic promotion that we've ever seen in show business history. And he says, I'm really glad to meet you, Jewish attorney. I said, listen, I know it's good, you know. You don't have to tell me. I know I'm the world's genius promoter. And he said, well, look, you know, take this money that we have here, and we'll give you, you know, just give us a little piece of the action of this thing. You put it in escrow, the money, if you don't want to take it right now, and if you want to take it out, whatever. We just want to be in on it. Because one of the people in there, Broderick Crawford, had part of the ownership of the Beatles, and he knew that this promotion that I was doing, he felt it was going to be as big as the Beatles, too. And so I told him, look, I was going to tell him, no, you know, we don't going to put anything in the escrow. If you're going to give me any money, it's going in my pockets. And you know, I'm not going to do any business that way. And so he says, But before I could answer him that way, my ears shut off where I couldn't hear. And I heard a voice talking through my arms and my legs and my chest. And it was saying, it was just all around me. All around me, this voice. It wasn't coming from any certain direction. It says, I am, and I could feel this like a aura, like a spirit around me saying, I am the Lord thy God. Stand up on your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And I thought I'm such a genius that it's time I'm flipping out. And so geniuses flip out because we're real sensitive people. And so I'll just go and go home and dress up, get into a nice suit and clean up a little bit, and check into a private mental institution and do crafts for a while, make wallets and string beads or whatever they do in there, finger painting, and after a month or two I'll be fine. And then everybody will say, well, he flipped out, but that'll be good because then everyone will know that, you know, geniuses flip out. I remember reading a story about this artist that flipped out and he cut his ear off and threw it in the trash and then took it up and put it inside of an envelope and then sent it to his girlfriend. And I figured, man, you know, I don't want to flip out like that because before I start cutting myself up, I better get out of here. And so I tried to get up and this force kept me down. It just weakened me really bad. And so that I couldn't get up. It didn't feel bad. I mean, it didn't feel bad, but it just felt like I was just drained of any energy. Couldn't get up. And so this voice come through me again and says, doubt not. I am the Lord thy God. Stand up on your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And then this time my mind opened up and I knew there was a heaven and a hell. And you might as well, you know, have told me about Superman or Snow White, anything, you know, just any comic book, Hansel and Gretel, yeah, they're really alive, sure they are, you know, Captain Marvel is real too, you know, and Superman, yeah, he'll be flying in here any minute, you'll see. But when the Lord came down there like that, I thought, my God, I thought that the Lord was the same kind of a story as Superman and Donald Duck, or, you know, Goofy or anybody. I thought it was just a big story that people heard all their life of, about monsters and all this kind of stuff. Sure, there's monsters, you know. Sure, you're supposed to believe that. And there's ghosts and gremlins and all this. It was the same thing. I didn't believe it. But then when this voice started cutting through me, I said, well, you know, I'm completely freaked out, completely flipped. And so I just got to get out of here. I know there's a heaven and hell now, and I don't understand what's happening to me. And if there's a God, there's got to be a devil, but I got to get out of here. And so I pushed up, and the breath started going in and out of my body. And so I really thought I was the toughest guy in the world. The reason that I was so tough is because I didn't care if I died or not. I really didn't care whether I live, die, you know. I said, listen, if I do die, throw me in the trash, but make sure to put on the lid, okay? All right? Or get a backhoe and go out in the field and dig a trench like that and then throw me in there and make sure you cover me up good, all right? I could care less, you know. Embalming fluid, what's that for? I don't want to know nothing. Just throw me in the trash. But all of a sudden, here's this voice, and the breath is coming out of my body. And there was no toughness left in me because they're like the intelligence of the living God came down on me. And he says, now thou knowest. And I says, God, help me. Oh, please, God. Oh, God. God. Oh, please don't. Like a little baby, see, I was. I never thought I was going to ever beg for anything in my life. I was begging to the top of my lungs, in front of all these people that thought I was the Pumalaka Chunga. You know? Man, everybody thought I was the big gun, you know? And here I'm going, no, God! Oh, please, please, don't kill me! Don't! Almost vomiting my guts. I was almost about ready to vomit and give up the ghost. Right on the guy's desk. And so, like, that's why I know, you know, as cold as I was, you're going to be Casper, too. So, you know, big time Charlie, I was going to go, but, you know, I heard a message. And, hey, let you listen to this message right now. You're no big gun or big deal. Everyone is a little whimpering, simpering, nothing before the living God. How do I know that? The Bible says so. But I can tell you the truth. I witnessed it. From a guy from square 10, he had me crying out to the top of my lungs, and I could have cared less when the breath is leaving your body, and you know there's a heaven and a hell, and it's no game, and it's you. You know, it isn't your buddy sitting next to you, or your girlfriend, or your dad, or your mother, son. No protective arms around you. If you had a hold on to, you know, and a scissor grip around a telephone pole, the breath goes out. The husk stays. But the soul goes up and then down, right into hell. And so, no big shots before the living God. You come before this tremendous, the Bible says that it's a fearful thing to come into the presence of the living God. It's a fearful thing to come before Him because He says, I am a terrible God. Well, you hear all these people today, you know, they're saying, well, God is just love, and you can do your own thing and just have your own way, and it's whatever's good for you and all this kind of stuff. That is the biggest demonic doctrine. I mean, that things boil down to that now, because whatever's good for you or whatever you think is great might be a fabulous way to live. I thought it was too, you know, being big and tough and not having anything, anybody over you. Anybody would come in front of me, I just, you know, one time in New York, somebody slit the top of my car, and I thought I knew who it was. So I hired about four guys to lay in there. They had a purple Lincoln. And I told them to lay in the back seat of the Lincoln, lay on the ground. Don't warn anybody where you're coming. I said, I'll give you $100 for every bone you break in their body. If you break their skull, you get $1,000. And these guys were just listening to me, enumerating how much for each bone and stuff. Their guys, their eyes turned into saucers. And I said, what's the matter? He says, baby, you cold. You cold, man. I said, are you going to do it or not? They said, we'll do it. So I gave him half the bread then. And that's the kind of a person I was. I didn't care about anybody. You'd mess around with me, you get fire. The bad kind of fire. But, you know, there's one that has a worse fire for people if they... You can't play around with God. You cannot play around with Him. Do you think that anybody but God could make me come down to a little mission like this at nighttime? God has given us $20 billion worth of water underneath this property and the property next. I never have realized such wealth, I mean physical wealth, in my whole life. $20 billion. With that kind of money, we got to yank it out of the ground first and bottle it up before. And it's the only, we hear it's the only water that is clean in Los Angeles, abundant enough to give to all the people of Los, sell to the people of Los Angeles, and also to Orange County. And do you think that, I mean, if most people wouldn't be able to keep their gourd screwed on if they had $20 billion? Well, man, they'd say, send you a card from Acapulco. You know, or Mexico City, here I come. Well, here we are in this mission here. There's something scared me pretty bad, right? You got to agree on that, right? Right. And so I only pray to God that that same fear will come on you. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. After this experience happened to me, the breath going in and out, and God made me talk in that room that night. And then after this experience happened to me, I figured I better find out what God wants me to do. So I figured the biggest church in town must be the best. That makes good sense. You know, the biggest is the best, right? Not so. That's wrong. So I went to the biggest, and it was the worst. Other guy in there, I said, what do I do? And he says, just have it in your heart to be baptized. I says, look, I don't know. How do I know I even have a heart? I says, how do I have something in my heart? I says, why don't we just baptize me and get it over with? And he says, just have it in your heart. I said, look at Weasel. I says, you happen to be the head of this big monastery here. This thing is gigantic. You know, I haven't seen anything like this this big in this whole town. It's the biggest building in town. And I said, now, what are you doing in here? I said, you just breathing up the air? I just said, are you the boss? You know, God just got through talking to me. I mean, and I figure, you know, I'm supposed to come to somebody on earth that's got to have the answers, right? And so I come over to here, this great big monastery, and you're telling me to have it in my heart. I'm not a priest. How am I going to have put something in my heart? I can't put anything in my heart. I'm just a human being. There's only one person that could put something in your heart. You have to invite that person to come into your heart. He didn't have the answer. He should have said, come into, get on your knees and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. When Jesus hears those words, well, then it happens. And wash all my sins away in your blood. But the man himself had not asked Jesus to come into his heart yet and wash all of his sins away. But I didn't realize that at that time, poor man wasn't even saved. But thank God, later on, went back, witnessed to him, and now he's out. I don't know if he still is, but he was out witnessing and testifying. He left a big monastery and went out and is preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. His name was Father Babish, and he was the head of the United Council of Churches for the West Coast. And thanks, he just was in awe. He says, are you Jewish? And I said, yeah. He says, well, my God, he says, you know, I said, what do you ask me that? I told you my name is Tony Alamo. I thought you'd think I was an Italian. He says, no. He says, you know, some other Jewish guys came in here, and they said that they had an experience, not as supernatural as yours, but it was a supernatural experience. See, God said that he'd take the veil off of us Jews' eyes, and that we'd be preaching the gospel to you Gentiles in the last days. Not because any good thing that we ever did, because, I mean, there isn't anything that's good about me at all. I was the worst weasel that you could ever believe. I used to break people's bones if they got in my way. You know, if it cost them bread, that's, you know, whatever. $1,000 a skull, $100 for each finger, a toe, $100, whatever. Toesies, you know, break your back, that's good for a couple G's. Right? There isn't any good thing in me. I was the worst weasel that ever lived. The Apostle Paul said he was. Maybe he was. I'm sure he was, yes, because I didn't know if I killed any Christians or not. He knew what he was doing. But, I mean, we're all sinners. I'd have gone to the same hell the Apostle Paul would have gone to if he didn't get saved. And you'll go to the same, if you didn't break anybody's bones, if you didn't break anybody's fingers, if you didn't kill anybody, if you didn't commit adultery or fornication, but there's something, you're a liar, or whatever you did wrong in your life, there's sin on your soul, and we all have the Adamic sin on our soul. And we're on our way to the pit of hell if we don't accept Jesus Christ into our heart. I went from one church to the other. One right after the other. And I just, one of them was into basket socials and picnics and basketball and volleyball. I went to the Greek Orthodox Church. They said, oh, what a weary service that was. Let's all go into the bar and have a shot. They have a bar right in the church. I says, what? Okay, come on. And so, you know, you go into the bar, and you don't know. I mean, I wasn't saved. I went from one church to the other. You go right here in Los Angeles, go to the Greek Orthodox Church, and you can get whatever. You know, they have a bartender there. They have 6 bars in the Vatican, pharmacies, everything. So anyway, I mean, it's amazing. But anyway, after I made the rounds to all the churches, I found out that it wasn't there, so I started reading a lot of books. I'd go into the bookstore, and I'd see these guys with real long white beards, and they'd have pointed hats on with moons and cats and stars and everything on their hats. And I figured, these guys got to know something, because they got these real intelligent looks on their faces, you know? So I read that book. He says, just be like the birds and the bees, and whatever, you know, hits you, just do. Whatever's good for you, wow, throw it in the garbage. You can't do anything you want. I knew that God threatened me. God is this love. No, God says, tell them that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again, or I shall surely die.
and you're going to hell. God is the God that threatens. So finally, after all these churches and books and everything, they were all wrong. I opened up the Bible at last, though. I thought, these Bibles, they're everywhere. They're too commercial. People are stupid. If they were not stupid, they'd be rich. You know, I wouldn't even talk to anybody unless they made more money than I did. I didn't find too many people that did. But anyway, I picked it up anyway, and immediately I found the scripture. That one right there. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they. I want to know what God wanted me to do. I want to know what's right. I want to know the difference between right and wrong so I could start. I wouldn't make mistakes and wind up in hell. I didn't want to make a mistake. I'd live just doing my own thing, you know, and just anything, you know. He didn't like the way I did it, kill him. He didn't like the way you do it, beat him. Break his bones. Do something to him. Make him know that I didn't like that. The police, they says, the sheriff of Los Angeles says, you can't have a motorcade, only kings and presidents. I said, listen, you stinking Weasley, you. I'm promoting this kid. If just one hair of his head is hurt, I'll have you pulled down from the sheriff so fast it'll make your head swim. He says, all right, go ahead and use the motorcade, but stop using the sirens and the flashing lights. And so we got in the car, and I says, use them! I mean, one instance after the other, nothing bothered me. And so I open up the Bible, and I found the plan of salvation. I found healing in there. I said, the more I read, the more I could feel the same power coming down upon me as it did in that office. And I thought, oh my God, I'm on the right track. You know, people just don't realize that this Bible is as powerful as it is. They don't even think there's any power in it at all. I didn't. That was the last place I looked. And that's where it was. It's just like, Bibles are all over the place. The Gideons have got them in hotel rooms. Hey, you go into a hotel room, open the Bible, I throw it in the trash. And now I look at that, my God, the things I did. Oh God, have mercy on my soul. Have mercy, and I got saved. I asked the Lord to save my soul, and He came in. I saw two visions of hell and a vision of heaven. And the Lord came into my heart, washed all my sins away from me, and I felt just like a huge boulder, bigger than this building, rolling off my back, and I wouldn't even look at people, because when I did, it scared me, because they'd go like this, they turn away from me, because I just bear down on people. I was like a bear, and my eyes aren't so pretty anyway, because I've got glaucoma, and they just like turn real fast from me. And so I just always didn't, and then I just say, I look, one time I even scared myself, I look in the mirror and I said, oh my God. It's like the devil in me was just staring right back at me, stuck his tongue at me. And so I thought, my God, you know, it's wonderful, and I'd start smiling, I felt myself smiling. And I thought, I really like people. I mean, why did I do... You know, I want to help people. I want them to know the same thing. I want to do something for people. I want to do something for God. I got to find out more. And so God put Susie and I together. She was at this restaurant. She had been in movies. And I was sitting at it. She says, Tony, did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again? And I thought, why? You know, I was just daydreaming. I says, who said that? And she says, I said, what did you say? She says, I said, did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again? Because I didn't hear this in any other church. The only time I heard it was when the Lord said it to me in that office. And I says, yeah. I says, you're asking me if I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to earth. I'm the guy that knows it. I said, God told me. Did He come and tell you too? I said, are you my contact? I thought she was my contact on earth.
And then I said, are there others? Do we meet someplace? What's going on? You know, where do we go? I thought we were going to, you know, we had to do something, you know. And I thought, this is it. Oh, it's frightening me. And I just want to just get scared. I would really get scared every time. I said, she just started laughing. She said, why, Tony? She said, it says so all the way in the Bible. I said, show it to me. So she started showing me in the Bible where it said, in the last days, just before Jesus comes back to earth again, that the Jews would be preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, that there'd be a one world government, that's the United Nations, that there'd be a one world church, that's the United Council of Churches, and the one world church, and it would be headed by the Pope, and that the Pope would get everybody, all the heads of the different governments together, and that they would all have the power of the government. The Pope would tell all the government agencies to attack all the Christian churches and the Jewish churches and the Muslim, and put everybody under his power. And then she showed me in the Bible where it said that. And she showed me, I said, well, it's kind of hard to swallow. I don't really. And then she showed me another scripture and then another one, and pretty soon the whole picture was painted. The whole picture. And then she told me how Jesus was going to come to earth the first time, and all the prophecies, and how he fulfilled all of them, and then how he's going to be coming the second time, and soon he's going to be splitting the eastern skies. And pretty soon this world is going to be moved off of its axis. And she said the Jews would be returned to their homeland. And I said, well, my Lord, the Lord must be coming back to earth again real soon then. And I went and I said, I'm going to go and tell all the newspapers. They got to, you know, print it in the news. And so I went to them and she says, don't do it. They're going to think you're crazy. She says, because they're carnal. They don't know spiritual things. And I said, but I got to tell them anyway because I really feel responsible. And so I'd go and tell them. I said, look at you, weasel. You know, I'd grab him by the shirt and the editor. I said, you know, let me tell you what happened to me. He says, what, Tony? And I'd just get down and I'd start telling him, you know, God did this and that, and his eyes would just be big, you know. And I said, now print it in the headlines tonight. He says, okay. So I went and I got them all, and they said, oh, yeah, we're going to do it tonight. I went and told Sue, you watch the headlines tonight. I went and bought all the papers, took them home, not one of them printed it. She says, I told you. And she says, you've got all this zeal, but you don't have any wisdom. She says, you've got to learn the Bible. You got to learn the Spirit. You got to learn about God, and you got to learn about the devil. You got to learn how to fight him effectively. You got to know when to witness and when not to witness. You got to learn how to witness. And so I was under training for about 18 years, and then Susie passed away. And we have been under tremendous attack, and God has taught me how to fight and taught our people how to fight. We know how to fight spiritually. And we will, hallelujah, we will prevail, the Bible says, against every devil on the face of this earth. Hallelujah. Though he rise up against us, the Bible says one of us will chase 1,000, and two of us will chase 10,000. Three of us will change. It goes up from 1 to 10, okay? So 10, okay? 10,000. And then three of us will chase what? 100,000. Four of us will chase what? 1,000,000. Five of us will chase how many? 10 million. Six of us will chase how many? 100 million. Seven. A billion. Eight of us will chase how many? 10 billion. There's not that many people on earth. Eight of us will chase 10 billion. The rest of you can go home. I'm just kidding. So we have the power. Amen? No, don't go home. I'm just... All right. So the power is in the Spirit of the living God, the Word of God. The Word of God, if you'll just drink that in and learn what the Lord wants you to do. The more I read the Bible, the more powerful I felt the Spirit of the Lord living inside of me. And then you read the scriptures where it says the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ will grow up in you. And you'll know so much. And then you'll know when something's coming at you from the devil. And then you'll know when something's of the Lord. People, when they're young baby Christians, they have these horrible different satanic spirits come after them. And you got to learn how to fight them off. If you just say the blood of Jesus is against you, Satan, or if they're telling you to do something, you come against it. He wants you to leave. You say the Bible says that as we see the time of the Lord coming, that we're supposed to stay in closer to the Lord. Get thee hence, Satan. I know it's the devil. anybody or anything or even your own imagination that would tell you to leave the house of the living God in these last days is the devil. Don't listen to him. Always do the opposite of what the devil says. What is the opposite of what the devil says? The Bible. That's right, the Word of God. And that's why you need to learn this Word, and that's why it's really dumb to leave until you get grounded in the Word of God. That's really dumb, according to the Word of God. Not only does he call it dumb and stupid, he says, a person that doesn't believe God, he tells you, now believe me, he says, and you're saved by believing, and I know that you believe if you do what I say, the Lord says, to stay in the house of the living God. And to learn, be grounded, take on. He says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Even an ant knows that it has to have the food to survive, and it stores up food within itself for the day of evil, for winter. And we have to know that there's a big and mighty battle coming. The Bible calls it the Battle of Armageddon, the war between God and Satan for the soul of man that's going on right now. And we're pushing back kingdoms. And we're going into it's not the Lord in us. And we're going into all these different nations. And you know, if we weren't afraid for anything that happened to us and we were going to go to hell before we got saved, why should we be afraid when we've got God? Amen? For heaven's sakes, now we've really got something not to be afraid about. If we fear the Lord, we don't have to fear anything else. Amen? Why, you know, when the Lord came down on me, I told you those guys, you know, with the motorcade and everything, I says, I'm walking out on you dudes. This is Tony. You can't do that. We quit our jobs at the police department. This kid says, Tony, you can't do that. You know, I'm in the middle of my career. You're just about ready to make me a big superstar. All these guys, the photographer, the bodyguard, said, look, man, I quit my job as an ambulance driver. Big Jim. I said, look it, weasel. This guy is as big as Lurch. I says, it doesn't make any difference to me. Go back. I mean, what did I do, spoil your big career of an ambulance driver? I says, I'm not going to go with any of you guys. It's too bad. You should come with me now. You know that I'm smarter than all of you put together. I says, God talked to me, and they just laughed. They says, you got to be out of your mind. I says, oh, no. I said, listen, it was God. He took the breath into it on me. Tony, come on. What are you trying to do? Yeah, come on. No way. These other men, they says, what's the deal, Tony's? I said, look, you take this kid, the whole promotion, you guys take the money and split it up between yourselves. I don't want anything. I don't want anything. And so I went from one church to the other, as I told you. I didn't want money anymore until my money went out. Every so often the Lord's Spirit would come down on me, and I'd be walking down the street, and I'd see all the people, just like globs of fat, just walking down the street, looking in store windows at cheap beads and stuff like that, and going in and looking at a bunch of string of beads or something like it was something important. These cheaps. I said, what are you worried about beads for? I mean, the Lord's coming back. But after a certain while, I started thinking, am I the only person on earth that knows it? And that's why it was such a supernatural thing when Susie said it. I said, thank God somebody else has heard the same thing. Why, it's available for anyone. The Bible clearly tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again. The Lord says, the day of the Lord is at hand. Repent or perish. Repent of what? Repent of your sins. Get down on your knees and cry out to the living God. And he says, if you do, he'll enter into your body the spirit, the immortal, everlasting spirit of the living God, the spirit that never dies, will enter into your body, and it's not there now. We're creations of God, but we only become his sons and daughters when we invite his son into our heart and soul. And if you'll say the sinner's prayer, if you'll say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and you just come down here and repeat that prayer, the Lord will save your soul. He says, all that call upon his name shall be saved. So anyway, I did get saved, and then Susie taught me the Bible. We went out into the streets. She says, They said, you know, it's a big thing for a Jew to be saved. So they took me, Susie took me over to the Full Gospel Christian Businessmen. I found out that this place is, it says that the Antichrist is wonderful now. So that organization has gone down the tubes.
one right after the other. But I went in there, I'd give my testimony, and people would say, my goodness, you're a Jew, you're the same flesh of Israel, the same flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ was in when he was here. I said, what? I am? I was? What? They said, can we touch you? I said, get out of here, you know. What's the matter with you? They said, no, because, you know, you're the same. Don't. They're like idol worshippers. I'm nothing. I was a weasel. Well, go ahead, touch me. And so, I mean, just crazy stuff going on in the churches. And so, Sue says, you know, all we've wound up to be is a couple of entertainers for a bunch of people that are full of lethargy. A bunch of people that call themselves Christians, but they're not doing anything for the Lord. I says, well, first she asked me, well, do you know God has names for people like you and me? And I says, what's that? And she says, hypocrite. I says, what? I thought she was going to say nice guy and nice woman. And she says, there is where the problem is. She pointed to all the hippies and the drug addicts on the streets. And I thought my ministry would be to the movie stars and to the multimillionaires because I'd made so much money and they'd really relate to me. But when I talked to them, they just wouldn't receive it at all. And so she said, we have to go out on the street with the hippies and the down and outers. She says, we have to go to the missions. And so we go to the missions and these guys would be picking the lice off on their chest like that and snapping their heads off with their fingernails like that. I'm just looking at that, you know, and turning green. So, man. But I'd be giving my testimony to them and everything. And then they'd come by and Susie says, you got to shake hands with them. I says, okay, praise the Lord. Lord bless my hands, you know. So I said, okay. But that was when I was a baby Christian. Now I've got far more faith than that. Amen? And she says, now you got to go in and... So we went down in the street in Hollywood and we started winning all this. One of them, I says... I didn't want to go down in the street, and she says, if you don't, I'm going down by myself. And I says, now look, man, this is a bad, terrible thing for you to do, Sue, you know, to go down. No red-blooded American man's going to let his wife go down there on that boulevard, or you know, all those people, them by their, herself. I says, you're forcing me to go down there, and I said, I don't like it. And I'd go upstairs, and I'd pray, God, talk to her. Tell her that I'm a promoter, that I can put her on national television and promote her. She's the greatest preacher in the world. And she'd get to him. She's not supposed to be down there. And the Lord talked back to me and say, she's right. Listen to her. And so I'd say, I got my wires all mixed up here. So she says, well, I'm going anyway. And she went and put a bunch of tracks with some of the Converse that we had in some paper bags. And I said, well, look, I'm going down there with you, but I ain't going to take these paper bags. So we looked like a bunch of gypsies converging down on the boulevard with these brown paper bags. I says, take them. She says, all right, girl, put them in your purse. And so they stuck the gospel tracts in their purses. And so we went down the street, and a bunch of guys from the studios saw me there, and they said, hi, Elmo, how you doing, babe? And I says, Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again. Repent or perish. And he says, oh, man, you're nuts. And I says, you're the one that's nuts, you weasel. You're going to wind up in a pit of hell. And so I said, whoever, you was no big deal, and you're not any big deal right now. I said, I'm saved and washed in the blood. So I was really uptight at him, and I saw there was a hippie going by, and I said, hey, hippie, come here. So the hippie came over, and I says, did you know Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again? He says, yeah, man. I says, what? He says, yeah, man. I said, how do you know that? He says, I don't know, man, but he says, you know, this old ball of mud can't go on too long. Look at the mess out here. He says, how much longer could this go on? I says, you're right. I said, grab him. I said, come here, man. I said, Sue, this guy says he believes that Jesus is coming back to earth again. I said, what do I do with him? She says, well, you know, she says, just go and get some more. So I said, okay. So she started talking to him and witnessing to him and got him down and prayed him through. And so I grabbed another one. I said, hippie, come here. I said, do you know Jesus Christ is coming back to us again? The guy says, yeah, man. I said, man, these guys are receiving it. You know, this is unbelievable. This is wonderful. So we had a a lineup. And then Susie wanted to go being off the street. She said, okay, it's time to go. I said, Sue, come on, let's just stay out here a little bit longer. I became like Frank Buck, you know, I wanted to bring him back alive. I didn't want to leave until every last soul on the street was witnessed to. That's what really turned me on, because the people on the streets are receiving it. But the people of the churches have turned their back on the living God. God has reached down and grabbed us bunch of funny people. Amen? And we're the ones that the Lord has called to do this great and mighty work in the last days. Hallelujah! You know, we're just a bunch of characters, amen? This character over here from Montana. This one over here from off of a ship, a boat. All these characters up here and everyone in this place. That's all we are. But the Lord has entered into us, and now we're not characters. To the world, we're crazy. But the Lord says the world is foolish to think such a thing as that. The Lord says, I'm coming back to earth again. And I'm going to find the people that's going to serve me and go out and preach that word. And we're it. And let's, you know, we can see that the whole church world has failed God. And we can see that people right down through the ages have failed God. Let us not fail Him. Don't let us fail Him. Yeah, we're characters, all right. But man, we can do it. But in Jesus said, He will give us the power to do all things in Christ Jesus that strengtheneth me. Amen? Let's do it. Let's keep going on. Amen? We won hundreds of thousands of souls. The whole Jesus movement started through this work, and it spread across the world. And then you got all these kind of false doctrines, and again, and then it's a whole spin-off all over again. And then we're still preaching the straight and narrow way. And the Lord says in the last days, they will not endure sound doctrine. But let's stay on the ship. And that ship is Jesus Christ. Let's stay in the body of Christ. And let's keep His commandments. They're not hard to keep. The Bible is not complicated to know. It's very simple. Our little five-year-old kids understand it. And you don't get antsy. Stay where you were put. Stay and make it pay. Amen. Everyone can get antsy. That's the way I was before I got saved. Oh, they're not doing that way. Let's get it that way then. Okay, if it's not doing this, then do it that way. We'll get them that way. One way or the other, we'll get in the Lord. We'll do it this way. Amen. Learn it. Keep it. Do what the Lord says. And He'll bless you like you can't even believe it. Just gave us $20 billion. It's not, has it gone to my head? No. We're still preaching the word of the living God and holding up that blood-stained banner. There's only one name in this whole wide world or in heaven that could possibly be mentioned whereby you can call upon that your eternal soul, your everlasting immortal soul can be saved. And that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No name is given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Call on Him this evening. Ask Him into your heart. And He says, the minute He sees you walking down this aisle, He's going to open up the heavens and He's going to descend right down. He meets you. Lord says, you draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. You turn your back on me and I'll turn my back on you. Come on down and let's pray and ask the Lord to come in. It will continue 1 Corinthians tomorrow, Lord willing. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, come on. There's room at the cross for you. Come on down, let's pray. The Lord will be faithful and He will save your soul. The cross upon which Jesus died is the shelter in which we can hide. If you're, don't be ashamed of the Lord, you know, He looks down here at this world, He's ashamed of this place down here. He's ashamed of the sin that's on your soul, and that's why He came and died, so He could get it off. And He wants you to get it erased tonight by the blood that He shed on Calvary. It'll take it right away. And if your soul goes out to meet the Lord and you're not saved, you'll be in hell, that's for sure. I saw heaven, I saw hell. There's a hell, that's for sure. Wouldn't make any difference if millions of people, billions of people lined up and said there's no hell. I'd call them liars. It's in the Bible and I saw it. If they said there's no hell, I'd call them liars because I saw it. It's in the Bible and I saw it. If people said you don't have to die, well, believe me, you have to die. you're going to die. It could be tonight. You have no guarantee how long you're going to live. Is there room at the cross for you? Though millions have found him a friend and have turned from the sin they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gate and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come. You know, people, I never thought I'd be afraid of anything, but you will be afraid of God. If you're not afraid of him now, you certainly will be. And the Bible says that you will be. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The pit of hell at this very moment beneath our feet is roaring like an oven. People screaming and pleading and begging to get out of there, please. And they know they will never get out though, but they're sealed in there for an eternity. And you know how long an eternity is? It's forever. No food, no water, no rest. Just screaming out, why? Why did I not repent while I was there on the other side, when I had an opportunity to repent? You think you've got a lot of living to do? A lot of loving to do? We mentioned before several times in our services where a young man said that very same thing. He went out walking down Sunset Strip with his girlfriend. A couple of guys came up and back him and tapped him on the shoulder. And they let loose with a double-barrel shotgun and blew his heart right out of his body. The guy's name was Franchi. His soul has been in hell now for at least 15 years. 1 second of hell was so much of a fearful thing to me that I never wanted to go there. It's the most horrible, heinous place that you could possibly even imagine. Where people are screaming to the top of their lungs like dogs, growling out the word, mercy, mercy, mercy. Lord says, oh, you're going to have a good time first. You don't know. You go out in that street to have a good time. This may be the Lord is actually even talking to me now and telling me that this is your last opportunity to get saved and that you better come down tonight. You know that you say, would the Lord threaten? Yes, he's threatening you. He threatened me. This is your last chance, pal. This is your last chance. Come down now. You don't think that the Lord talks to people? I wouldn't be here tonight if he didn't. This is your last chance. Whoever you are out there, if I were you, I'd come down. Come on down. It's a 1 minute prayer. That's all it takes. It's a 1 minute prayer. Come on. The Lord is dealing with you and you know it. Do you think that there's something out in that world worth more than $50 million or $20 billion or whatever you've got out there? The Lord says he'll take that drug problem or whatever kind of problem you've got away from you immediately. When he enters in, all your problems leave. I know all my problems leave. all my weaknesses, all my desires to hurt people. I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm not the same guy I used to be. Jesus is inside my mortal body now. And he'll enter into your body. Come down. Come down now. Okay. Heavenly Father, Lord our God, we just thank and praise your wonderful holy name for eternal life. And Lord, we can't stand you. Lord, we pray that there's something terribly wrong with this person. Terribly wrong. You have been really brain dirtied by this world, whoever you are. You've been made to believe a dirty lie. My wife came up here and told you that she was told that dirty lie, but thank God she had enough sense to know she had a brain in her head. Hallelujah. That's what your story is. You've been told a dirty lie. But I can tell you one thing. God is alive and Jesus Christ is on the throne. Hallelujah. You've come here to spy out our liberty. But the Lord is revealing it to you too. That this is the house of the living God. And this is your last chance. Come down and repent and give your heart to the Lord before it's everlastingly too late. You're not called to listen to what man says, but you're told to listen to what the Lord says. There isn't a man on this earth that I'd listen to. I had no respect for man, woman, child, or beast. The only thing that brought respect to me was when the power of the living God came down upon me. And the Lord saved my soul. And I'm saved. And everyone else is that would say that I am not saved is a dirty liar. And your soul could be saved this evening if you'd forget what man has told you. What man do you have such great regard for that you would sell your soul for what a man says rather than what God says? Is it the Pope? The Pope is the leader of the Antichrist. I receive it. Why do I say that? Because God says so. You've been told lies all your life. And the Lord wants you to know the truth. He says, when you know the truth will set you free. He said, come unto me, don't go unto the Pope. Come unto me, Jesus. Don't come to Mary, come to me, Jesus. Come to me, not to some false priest. Come to me, Jesus. I am the high priest. All ye that are heavy laden, I will give you rest. No one else can give you rest or salvation but me. Come unto me, and I will give you rest for your soul. Before you leave this building tonight, you come up here now and pray. Somebody just bring him up here. And I'll pray for 1 minute. Praise the Lord. Lord, thank you for the testimonies here this evening. What a wonderful bunch of testimonies. Thank you for each and every one of them. Break the power of darkness that's binding this, Lord and God. In Jesus' name, save the soul. Save the soul, Lord and God, in Jesus' name. Give us all traveling grace. Bless the food. Make it for the nourishment of our bodies. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, amen. And you're dismissed. Praise the Lord.